This episode of It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine was made possible by contributions from slaves like you. Thank you very much.
A bomb ripped through an electric power project in British Columbia early this morning, and it looks like sabotage.
Four huge voltage regulators at the Cheekai-Dunsmuir hydro plant on Vancouver Island were destroyed after dynamite charges exploded. The bombers apparently cut their way through a chain-link fence and set off the blast when no workers were at the site. A group calling itself Direct Action has claimed responsibility.
It's the end of the world as we know it. I feel fine.
Good morning, slaves, and welcome to another edition of It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine, where reality sandwiches are served with a pickle. I'm your host, The Stimulator, and in oil news, the chief economist of the International Energy Agency has stated that world oil supplies are running out fast. Dr. Fatih Birol told the Independent of London that
one day we will run out of oil. It is not today or tomorrow, but one day we will run out of oil, and we have to leave oil before oil leaves us.
When asked how much oil is left, Dr. Birol said, about this much. So since there's so little oil left, the United Snakes is turning to much dirtier fuels just north of the border.
The State Department has been delegated authority from the President to receive applications for the construction, connection, operation, and maintenance of facilities at the border of the United States, including petroleum pipelines. And after considerable review and evaluation today, the Department issued a presidential permit to Enbridge Energy Limited Partnership for the Alberta Clipper Pipeline.
That was Assistant Secretary of State Philip J. Crowley. What this government minion didn't tell you is that the Clipper Pipeline will be sending down a putrid excuse for oil from
the motherfucking tar sands.
But more on that after the break. And speaking of toxic tubes, the alleged bomber of gas pipelines in Dawson's Creek, Canada, has warned Encana, the owner of the pipelines, to get the fuck out of Dodge or else. An anonymous letter sent to a local rag read,
"Cease all your activities and remove all your installations. Return the land to what it was before you came. Every last bit of it, before things get a lot worse for you and your terrorist pals in the oil and gas industry."
The letter prompted Encana to double the reward money for snitching from $500,000 to $1 million Canadian dollars. So far, no information has come forth because of the reward.
The World Wildlife Fund has published its annual scorecard ranking the performance of each country, and the news isn't good for Canada. It has fallen to last place among G8 nations.
Oh, snack. How embarrassing.
What's happened this year is with the new Obama administration in the United States, they've done more in the last 6 months than the United States has done in the last 30 years on climate.
Wait a motherfucking minute. Go back to Hillary Clinton's yes man. Thanks.
But at the same time, we will continue to work internationally and with Canada to address the climate change problem.
Looks like the climate strategy of the Obama administration is to export its pollution next door, which is good news for Canada's evil motherfucking Prime Minister Stephen Harper. You see, there's a shitload of ice in the north of Canada that has been melting rapidly due to
man-made climate change.
Once this ice is gone, new oil and mineral finds might be revealed, along with a profitable trade route known as the Northwest Passage. This is the reason why Harper has been waving his military cock in northern Canada this summer. But the motherfucking resistance is working hard to stop the ice from melting. In West Virginia, two fearless earth defenders set up a tree sit, which caused the evil coal gluttons at Massey Energy from blasting around a mountaintop removal site. In the UK, troublemakers are getting ready for the annual climate camp action. More on that on the next show. And in sad motherfucking news, freedom fighter Leonard Peltier was denied parole. Peltier is a member of AIM, or American Indian Movement, and has been in prison for more than 36 years for allegedly killing two FBI agents during a gun battle at the Pine Ridge Reservation. Peltier will not be eligible for parole until 2024. Our hearts are with you, hermano.
Your name, did you lose it on the wall playing tic-tac-toe? Yo, check being on the level of our unconsciousness. For example, what does the billboard say? Come and play, come and play. Forget about the movement.
This summer, La Malvada and I pedaled over 700 miles through British Columbia and the Yukon Territories on secondary roads. My expectations were to see remote, pristine wilderness throughout our bicycle trip. But the reality was a bit more disappointing. In BC, there were clear cuts almost everywhere we went. There was also evidence that mining interests are poking around these parts, so once all the trees are gone, greedy motherfuckers can extract the last bit of profit from the earth's guts. Further north in the Yukon, where trees of the boreal forest are much smaller than those in BC, we saw almost no evidence of logging. The picture of unharmed wilderness was almost fulfilled. Yes, we still have huge chunks of wilderness that hasn't been fucked with, but it's not much. This bicycle trip up north has strengthened my resolve to be a part of a movement that stuffed the insanity that is civilization. One of the most insane and destructive projects civilization is undertaking threatens to wipe out a big chunk of Canada's boreal forest, pollute rivers and streams, and almost certainly wreck the climate to the point of no return.
The motherfucking Tarzan
has been called the most destructive project on earth, and is one that must be stopped by any means necessary. To find out more about the motherfucking Tarzans, I spoke with McDonald Stainsby of oilsandstruth.org. Hey McDonald, how the fuck are you?
Well, the first thing to say about the Tarzans is we talk about how...
Wait, hold your horses. I haven't even asked a question. So, what the fuck are
the motherfucking Tarzans?
Basically, the largest oil deposit in the world outside of Saudi Arabia. But that's a bit of a misnomer, because tar sands really aren't oil. Effectively, the process by which you mine and refine tar sands is effectively adding about 100 million years of development through a synthetic process. The tar sand deposit in an area that covers the size of the state of New York or larger than England is already considered the largest industrial project in human history, and it's barely begun. To do with the mining, which is the bulk of the tar sands production these days, one has to first clear the ground of all forests in all directions, and then they do what they call breaking the ground, which is to strip all the water off and suck it off in what areas are considered right now some of the largest and most important muskeg or wetlands that exist in North America. In the heart of the boreal forest, as I said, the size of the area, there should also be discussion of the size of the mines in the Athabasca region, north of the famous city of Fort McMurray, the modern-day gold rush town. In the area there, to produce one barrel of oil, you have to first, after you've cleared off the ground and broken all the trees down and so forth, then dig a pit which can be up to 200 feet deep. For each barrel of oil, there's 4 barrels of water used in a process called a slurry, where you spin it at a high speed, high velocity, with high temperatures of water to separate the bitumen, which is the pre-synthetic oil, from the tar sands, from the sands itself and all of the clays and silts. But that's after you've already dug out what has to be hundreds of tons of earth. Approximately 2 to 4 tons of earth are used, again, just to make one barrel of oil. They're also going to be using about 1/3 of the energy input to get the energy out. So the ratio that's most important to talk about is a ratio you could use in a country like Iraq, where for each barrel of oil you use to try to get more oil, you'll get about 100 barrels back. In the tar sands, it can be between 3 to 5. They've got some plans right now which would actually reduce that even further. So that's the kind of ratio we're dealing with here. So those energy needs have to come from somewhere. They come from natural gas and coal-fired plants, ostensibly. There's other developments that are also working on
that. And who will be consuming this dirty oil?
Well, the United States, because of the Security and Prosperity Partnership, and previous to that, NAFTA, and previous to that, free trade agreement signed between just Canada and the United States, has something called the Proportionality Clause, which states that if 70% of a given resource goes to the United States on any particular day from Canada, it can never be reduced below that level. We're currently sitting at, I believe, at 63% or something like that of tar sands bitumen and tar sands synthetic oil being sent already to the United States. As production increases from the 1.3 to 1.4 million barrels a day today to, let's say, if they actually achieve 4 to 5 or 6 million barrels a day, then you'll be looking at 4.5 million barrels a day approximately out of that 6 will be going straight to the United States. 20% of the United States reserve goes to the United States military. So you could say the tar sands are currently the number one supplier to U.S. imperialism around the world.
The group Environmental Defense has called the tar sands the most destructive project on Earth. Just what the fuck do they mean?
Well, the Environmental Defense, I would say, only understates the case. The way to look at it is that the tar sands are not only fueling the destruction of the second fastest rate of deforestation in the world outside of the Amazon River Basin, or Amazon Rainforest Basin, they're also currently about to become, well, they're already the second fastest contributor to climate change in North America, and with the goals of production that they're talking about, the CO2 emissions will make it so the only way you could outstrip a climate change contributor for all of North America would be to combine all of the coal-fired power plants from Alberta to Arizona and in between across all of North America. You also have to look at what's happening with water. We hear about how much fresh water exists in Canada, but as Dr. David Schindler, biological sciences professor from the University of Alberta, has explained to people, it's really important to note that the only water that's actually a renewable resource is that which gets replenished each year when there's the runoff from the melting of glaciers and the previous year's snowpack. So when you factor all that in, only 1% of all the fresh water that exists in Canada is actually renewable. 25% of all of the fresh water from not just Canada, but all of North America comes from the Mackenzie River Basin, which includes the Athabasca River. When you destroy the Athabasca and therefore irrevocably poison the Mackenzie River, as well as the Slave, as well as the Great Slave Lake, and other tributaries along the way, you're actually destroying 25% of the freshwater. And when we're going into the century that people are already saying the last century's wars were fought about oil, this next century's wars will be fought about water, and we're actually fighting a war against water itself, not just over it already.
And that about does it for this edition of It's the End of the World as We Know It, and I Feel Fine. The following slave transfer their sweat into my PayPal account to make this motherfucking sedition a reality. Jennifer, Matthew, John, Eddie, Patrick, Julia, Zachary, Matt, Ryan, Paul, Harold, Dan, Jana, Sarah, Jacob, David, Ben, Tim, Ariel, Kevin, Thomas, Brian, and Peter. Maraba. To comment on this show and for links to information on the motherfucking tar sands, just visit my fucking website, stimulator.tv. Now get the lead out.
Remember, kids, you can podcast high-quality video of this show at submedia.tv.